I am Kayla Ali, and welcome back to the Ali Perspective. Now, if you guys have been watching, like I know you have been, then you guys know that this past week we had our second round quarterfinals of the college football playoffs. And out of those four games, I successfully predicted three out of the four games. I did think that Georgia was going to beat Notre Dame, but Notre Dame beat Georgia. And I honestly think that was partially because of the new quarterback that Georgia had to play because Carson Beck was injured. But nonetheless, that was a good game. I thought all the games were good games for the most part. And this coming in the semifinals, we have Penn State versus Notre Dame, and then we have Texas versus Ohio State. Now, the Penn State-Notre Dame game, both these teams, when you look at them statistically, especially when it comes to running the ball and defense, they match up pretty evenly. I think this game is going to come down to which offense can air the ball out a little bit more consistently than the other, because everything else seems to match up really well with these two teams. They're coached very similar, hard nose, grit. Penn State has always been a good football team. It's just Penn State can't beat the Ohio States and the Michigans. Those two teams always seem to get them. Even though this year it was Oregon, Ohio State that beat Penn State. But excuse me for saying so many times, guys. I'm going to fix that. But anyway, I think that's going to be a good game. I think those are two teams that are evenly matched. I think they're both set up very similar in terms of good defense, defense that can turn the ball over. Excuse me, guys. Sorry about that. But back to what I was saying, both the team does a really good job of playing smart, sound defense. They get turnovers when they need turnovers the most. And then also their running game is also very strong. But I think Penn State has the slight edge. I've watched more Penn State games than I have watched Notre Dame games. So I could be wrong about this assumption. But I think Drew Aller is a better quarterback than Notre Dame. And I think he will be able to throw the ball a little bit more consistently and get bigger plays than Notre Dame, which will come in handy. And I think that will be the reason why Penn State wins the game and they go on to the national championship. Then the next one, Texas versus Ohio State. This one is very interesting to me. In terms of, I was not impressed with Texas and how they played against Arizona State. And Mal, I have not watched. I've watched two Arizona State games all year. I've watched about five Texas games. So I was a little bit more familiar with Texas than I was with Arizona State. Arizona State really should have won that game. The way they were able to come back, their defense after going down 14-0 in like 90 seconds. Once their defense settled in, Texas wasn't able to get a lot offensively. Texas defense actually kept them in the game because if Texas defense would have broken sooner, I 100% believe that Arizona State would have won that game. They were just a little bit more grittier in the end of that game than Texas was. Out of the four semifinal teams, Texas least impressed me in their quarterfinal win. I thought very much so they should have lost that game. But they end up winning. So that's here nor there. Ohio State looked really, really good. And I hate to say that because I'm not the biggest Ohio State fan. Even though I lived in Ohio for 2 years, and I'm mad I didn't get the chance to go to Ohio State game. But anyway, Ohio State looked really, really good. Jeremiah Smith is a freak athlete. He is fast. He can run routes. He's strong. He can pinpoint the ball. I mean, the guy is an all-around talent. And I think he's going to be the next great Ohio State wide receiver. And I think he's going to be the next Ohio State wide. And I know they got Mbuka, But I think Jeremiah Smith is going to be the next Ohio State wide receiver that, once he makes it to the NFL, actually makes a name for himself. And I know people call Ohio State wide receiver U, but if you really look at the numbers, it's definitely LSU right now. But anyway, out of Texas and Ohio State, I think it's going to be Ohio State. I think Ohio State is going to win that game just based on how they have played in the opening round, the quarterfinal round. They look good defensively. They look good offensively. I mean, they are just clicking on all cylinders. I did think that maybe Oregon could have edged out Ohio State, but it's really hard to beat a team twice in 1 year. That's really hard to do. And I think having such a long period off also affected Oregon. And I'm going to touch on that a little bit later. But like I said, I think Ohio State is going to edge Texas, which is going to make it an all-around Big Ten college football championship between Ohio State and Penn State. And if that's the case, I already think I know who's going to win the national championship. But I'll save that for next episode. So you got to watch this episode, and then you got to watch next episode to see who I pick as our national championship. And I know I made a pick prior, but that pick didn't win. So, okay, we're going to get another pick. I think the Notre Dame and Penn State game is going to be close, and I think Ohio State will win by at least 10 against Texas. Now, what I was saying earlier is every team that earned a bye in the college football playoff, all four teams lost. They had almost exactly a month or just a little over a month to prepare, and that was too much time off. And it took each team about a quarter. Like, Boise State was kind of in it fairly sooner than the other three teams. The other three teams, it took them about a quarter to kind of get in the groove of things. It took the quarterbacks a little bit longer to find a rhythm. It took the defense a little bit longer to make plays. Arizona State and Boise State, they were a little bit different. They came out hotter than the other two. But I think that extra week of rest while another team just demolished another team and they're already in rhythm, and it's like they're in mid-season form where you're going back to having a month possibly plus off, you're going to be rusty. And if that team is on their A game, they're going to go out to huge leads, or it's going to take them way sooner to settle into the game than your team. So I think it will be beneficial for coaches to see this, and I think you're going to see where a lot of teams are not going to want that first round bye, especially if this is only our first year doing the college football playoff in this format. So it's going to be hard to tell. We only have one sample size. But if next year, if the same thing happens, I think we're going to see in that third year coaches not really wanting that extra week off if teams are getting in rhythm sooner and having that week prior. And I saw this earlier when South Carolina State played Jackson State in the Celebration Bowl. Jackson State had played for the SWAC championship the week before, and SC State had a little over 3 weeks off, and they were completely discombobulated. They did not look like the same team that played in the regular season and went 9-3, won the MEAC. That extra time off sometimes messes up a team's flow and momentum. So it's going to be really interesting to see how coaches navigate that in the future. Because like I said, it was the first year, so a lot of coaches didn't know what to expect. But I think that's going to be a key point and a driving force going forward in the college football playoff. So now that we're done with college, I'm done with talking about college football for now. I am super excited for tomorrow night's game, and I'm glad each team gets a day. You know, we have Thursday with Penn State and Notre Dame, and then Friday we have Texas and Ohio State. So I'm glad each team gets a day, and I'm going to be locked in each day and to see who wins and see if my predictions are correct. Now, moving on to the NFL. we are kicking off Wild Card Weekend, and it's going to start Saturday. Saturday, we're going to have two games. We got the Chargers and the Texans, and I think that this might be controversial, but I think the Chargers are going to beat the Texans in Houston. The Chargers look a little bit better to me than the Houston Texans right now. The Houston Texans can't seem to find a consistent groove in the game. CJ Stroud gets hot at certain moments and then he's cold. Like, he hasn't been consistently hot like how he was his rookie year. The sophomore slump is a very real thing, and I think he is experiencing that. But the Texans will have home field advantage, and this is Harbaugh's first playoff game back in the NFL, so that's always going to be interesting to see. But I think that in the quarterback comparison with Herbert and CJ Stroud at this moment, I think Herbert will be able to get the job done and get the playoff win against the Houston Texans. Next, we have the Steelers and the Ravens. The Steelers have lost four straight. They don't look anywhere near how they looked before they went on the 4-3, before they went 0-4, excuse me. But even though that schedule was tough, they were very much winnable games. But George Pickens being out, that messed them up. The defense just giving up wide open plays. They could have easily beat Cincinnati, but Russell Wilson decided to drop his head and get tackled in play instead of running out of bounds, which cost them about 15 seconds left in the game, which completely messed them up because they could have easily walked. They could have walked off. I trust Chris Boswell enough to kick at least a 56-yard field goal and win the game for them, which would have had them playing in Houston instead of going to Baltimore. I mean, you have Lamar Jackson, who just accounted for over 40 touchdowns, passed for 4,000, and then rushed for over 900 yards, and they just beat the brakes off the Steelers, 2 weeks ago? They look like the better team at the moment, so I think I'm going to give it to the Baltimore Ravens to beat the Steelers in the AFC wild card, and then I think the Steelers are going to have to go back to the drawing board about the quarterback situation. And I don't necessarily know if it's about the quarterback situation as much as about they need another wide receiver outside of George Pickens. They consistently have small role players instead of a true number two and a number. They already got a number one. George Pickens is going to be the number one guy, okay? But you need a solid number two, and they don't have that. They have not had that. So I think this offseason they really need to find out who that is and pay some money to get that person, okay? Then next we have, this is an interesting one, we're going to have the Bills and the Broncos. I'm going to give this one to the Bills. I think Josh Allen is playing his, I'm sorry, guys, I'm going to go back a little bit. Lamar Jackson has just solidified his third MVP. Okay, so now back to the Bills and Broncos. The Bills should win this game, and I think the Bills will win this game for the simple fact that Josh Allen has played great football, and this is the best football we have seen him play in his career. I mean, he doesn't have a true number one superstar. I mean, Shakir is his number one wide receiver, but I'm talking about like blockbuster number one wide receiver like he had with Stephon Diggs. And he's able to take that wide receiver group and do what he's done is just great. And he is protecting the ball a lot better. I mean, and then their defense makes plays when they need to make plays. I think the game will be a good game. I just don't think the Broncos are ready yet to take on the Bills and what Josh Allen has been doing this year and how the Bills are just clicking right now on offense and defense. So I'm going to give that one to the Bills. Next one, I think it's going to be a very high-scoring game between the Packers and the Eagles. But with Christian hurt, wide receiver from the Packers. He's hurt. Jordan Love is still kind of a question mark. I haven't heard much of him not playing or him playing, so I don't know how that situation is going to go, but if they can have him healthy, it'll be more of a competitive game, but they have such a really great run offense and running with Josh Jacobs and being able to hit an open wide receiver when need to. I think, you know, it could be a very interesting game. Then you on the other side, you have the Eagles. The Eagles, Jalen Hurts has been, he had a concussion and he missed almost half of a game. Then he missed the whole game. And then, so he's coming off a 2-week break. So hopefully if he can come back and be on rhythm, but I mean, you got Saquon Barkley in the backfield with the offensive line that you have. And they've had the number one defense so far since they went on a 9-game winning streak before losing. I'm going to give it to the Eagles to beat the Packers. Yeah, I'm going to go with that one. And then for the finale on Sunday, we have the Commanders and the Buccaneers. So you have a rookie quarterback and Jaden Daniels versus Baker Mayfield. Baker Mayfield has pretty much been one of the hottest quarterbacks in the NFL in these last closing weeks. And even though the Commanders have the better record, I'm going to go with the Buccaneers winning. I mean, you got Mike Evans, who just became second all-time in most consecutive 1,000-yard seasons with 11. He's three off of Randy Moss all-time. And Bucky Irving, the rookie running back. He is very talented. Their offensive line seems to always be able to get him big enough holes when they need him to make a big play the most. And their defense has kind of been clicking a little bit more in the last 3 to 4 weeks of the season. But I think Baker Mayfield, with his experience and have been in the playoffs, I mean, in winning with the Browns, I think that he's going to have that edge, and the Buccaneers are going to beat the Washington Commanders. Then finally, Monday, we have the Vikings versus the Rams. This is going to be a very, very interesting game. On paper, the Vikings should easily win, okay? They have the better defense. Not necessarily better quarterback, but they have the better team, okay? Then you have the Rams. The Rams, I don't know what it is, but the last 3 years, they start the season off every year slow as heck, and then they finally click. And that is a team I'm a firm believer in, you don't want to see in the playoffs when they finally click. Kind of like how if the Bengals would have been able to get in, no one would want to play the Bengals, okay? I think that's what the Rams are, because when you have Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp healthy, and Matthew Stafford able to hit them consistently. And then, I mean, they have studs on defense, especially in Jarrett Verse, who probably is going to win Rookie of the Year, which I believe he was going to win at the beginning of the season. And Quinnen Mitchell for the Eagles, he has a strong case too. He just don't have the INTs. But Jarrett Verse is a stud on defense. Their defense has been better. The secondary has been better. They were plagued by a lot of injuries, but over time, the players who are stepped in, they've got more comfortable. They've been able to read things a little bit better. So I think I'm going to go with the Rams upsetting the Vikings on that one. I think the Rams are going to have the edge. I think Matthew Stafford is going to have a great game. I think Puka Nacua is going to have a big game for them. So, those are my NFL picks. And next week, we'll see if I was right or if I was wrong. Or we'll see how good my percentage has been. But I'm very excited. We're going to have 5 straight days of football, competitive football, high stakes football. And I could not be more excited starting tomorrow night.
You've got mail.
Yes. You have a couple of questions from your email bag.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Thanks for telling me.
Yes, this is your producer here, and every now and then we get some emails. So we want to address some emails. We want to get your thoughts on these. Yes. What's the most compelling matchup for the NFL weekend to you?
I think the most compelling is going to be the Steelers and the Ravens. And the reason why I say the Steelers and the Ravens is because for the Steelers, a lot is on the line. Because if they don't win that game, then you're shopping for new quarterbacks. Even though you had 2 quarterbacks who were technically better than the quarterbacks you had in the room last year, you still end the season the same record. So what do you need to address now?
Okay.
And then a lot of people are also calling for Mike Tomlin's head, because how can you be a coach with all these winning seasons, 18 consecutive winning seasons, and you haven't won a playoff game in the last 5 years?
Now, that was the next question we had.
Uh-huh.
It was that do you think it's Mike Tomlin, or is it the pieces that he's been given? Because one person pointed out on Twitter that they don't blame the quarterbacks. They kind of blame the lack of development of George Pickens.
I definitely agree with you on that. After watching that last game against the Bengals, I think it's not all on Mike Tomlin. One, because your organization has to be willing to go out and get pieces. Okay, so they went out and they got quarterbacks, right? But then who do they really get at receiver? You said George Pickens is your number one, but you don't have a number two. We've seen time and time again that you can't win in the NFL with one solid wide receiver. You need another wide receiver. That's why there's so many quote-unquote wide receiver duos, because people realize that. And we saw how the Cowboys try to rely on that with CeeDee Lamb, and that came back to bite them in the butt. So in my mind, I don't think it's Mike Tomlin, and I don't think it's the quarterbacks. I think it's the front office needing to go out and say, we're going to spend money in finding, either we're going to go find a number one wide receiver and make George Pickens your number two, or we're going to find someone that's going to complement him, like a T. Higgins is coming up, that's going to be a free agent. If in my mind, if I'm the Steelers, I'm going to throw whatever money I can at him, because they've rebuilt their offensive line. Offensive line is better. And I think whether you are able to keep Justin Fields and Russell Wilson, or either or, I think they will be solid quarterbacks that you can rely on to get T. Higgins and George Pickens the ball. And I think if you're able to retain even just one of the running backs between Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren, you're going to have a solid running game. And I mean, the defense is able to do what the defense do every year. So I think it's the front office. I think they're going to have to go. It's not so much on Mike Tomlin as much as it is on the front office needing to go out and get someone to compliment George Pickens.
Okay. Next email from your email bag is the Giants decided to keep Brian Daboll and the GM in place. Good or bad?
Bad. I mean, bad. Bad all around. I mean, this guy, what Brian Daboll was able to take the Giants to the playoffs his first year, and then nothing after that. I mean, you decide to let Barkley go as the GM. I mean, we all watched that Hard Knocks episode.
He decided to pay Daniel Jones rather than Saquon Barkley.
Decided to play Daniel
Jones.
Only
the rushing record. only the rushing leader.
Only the rushing leader. And who could have easily broken the rushing record if they would have decided to play him.
Yeah.
So, no, not a good move, especially when we're seeing head coaches who only had a year get fired. And you giving this guy, he's coming up on his 4th year?
Yeah.
And it seems like everything's getting worse. No. I think even if you don't get rid of the GM, you get rid of the coach. Because there's clearly something culturally wrong with them.
Okay. Last question out your email bag. Your thoughts as a woman in sports journalism. What are your thoughts on Angel Reese and the backlash she's getting that caused her to shut down her social media?
I think that people have to stop. We don't see half of this with male athletes, okay? And in my mind, she's not doing anything different from any other male athlete that we've seen. And I think she's actually doing more than any male athlete we've seen. I mean, she just had her second Vogue photo shoot. I think people are just too involved in trying to humble her or trying to take her down a notch instead of them just letting her be her. And there's nothing wrong with her being her, because I've also seen people say she shouldn't have a podcast. There's no reason for her to have a podcast when we see every week football players come on the day after a game and have a podcast. And people are buying into it. You're not seeing as many. Of course, people say play football, you don't need a podcast. Yes, people say that. But I think it's amplified with the fact that Angel Reese has one. And just let her be. She's not doing anything that's inappropriate or harmful to her or other little girls that's looking up to her. I personally, I don't believe she is. So just let her be. Like, there's no reason for the hate. There's no reason for it. Every time she posts something, she's trending. And when you see the post, it's literally just a 22-year-old girl being a 22-year-old girl. So I think they should just let her be. And I'm also excited for Unrivaled and how that's going to play out. The 3-on-3 league. I think that's really cool.
What's your thoughts on that? Because now the girls, the women, don't have to go overseas to make that extra money, because of the average WNBA salary is $105,000. Mm-hmm. And they would usually go overseas.
Yeah.
But we saw how that worked out for Brittany Griner.
Mm-hmm.
And so now they have a league here that's, I think they offered her twice what her WNBA contract is.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that league?
I think that league can have the potential, and I know this is going to sound crazy, has the potential to possibly be bigger than a WNBA. And the only reason why I say that, not bigger, but I would say have a little more impact as well as on like social media and things like that, is because it's a player-run organization. Or player-run, I guess you can say organization.
League.
It's a player-run league. So the players know what fans want to see. Like, I've seen so much growth from Unrivaled on social media. I mean, I'm constantly seeing people talk about the trends that they're doing or how the audience is growing already. Like, people are interested in seeing them, and they're giving players first-class flights. Their locker room, because they're all practicing in the same facility, because it's only 3-on-3.
Yeah.
But the facilities are better, whereas in the WNBA, you only have places like the Seattle Storm and the Las Vegas Aces, who are like pioneers in having really good facilities for their WNBA. And so I think if it goes as well as they're hoping it to be, and also the commentators that they announced that's going to be on there, they're really good at their job. And it's not people that are going to be biased, or these are actual WNBA announcers and reporters who were, you know, beat writers for the WNBA, who actually love the WNBA. So I think, WNBA players. So yeah. I think that culture that we start to see in the WNBA this year is going to be the culture that they already start with Unrivaled. So I can see how it could be a little bit more popular than the WNBA. And I think that it's great that players don't have to go overseas. And I mean, that just saves you more time with family. And you're still making money. And of course, some players did decide to go overseas instead of doing Unrivaled. But I think we're going to see the league grow faster. But anyway, I really enjoyed those questions. So, guys, please make sure you add more questions, send in more questions, because I really enjoy that. So, once again, this is the Ali Perspective. I am Kayla Ali. So, please make sure you like, comment, subscribe, and I will see you here next week.